Our Bible lesson today is from Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. It can be found on page 115 in your pew Bible in the New Testament. And if you're using the large print Bible, it's on page 149. Hear these words. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. When the God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree, God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And our responsive reading is Psalm 150, found on page 862. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise God in His mighty firmaments. Praise God for His mighty deeds. Praise God for His exceeding greatness. Praise God with trumpet sound. Praise God with lute and harp. Praise God with tambourine and dance. Praise God with strings and pipe. Praise God with sounding cymbals. Praise God with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, a continuation of the story from last week. And what my guess would be a very familiar passage for many of you. You can find John chapter 20 verses 19 through 31 on page 108 of your pew Bible, or on page 141 of the New Testament in the large print Bible. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ is risen. Indeed. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important in the salvation history of the entire world that the church spends several weeks retelling the stories. Likewise, you could spend an entire lifetime trying to understand the implications of the resurrection. Today's story from John takes place later that same resurrection Sunday, in the evening after the morning, when Mary Magdalene returned from the empty tomb with a story about having seen Jesus alive again. This story is often called the story of Doubting Thomas, probably because it's so easy for most of us to feel that same doubt, that same skepticism, that same logical disbelief. Jesus couldn't really be alive again. I was trained in the sciences as a biologist, so I'm one who always seeks proof of what is claimed to be true. Well, it doesn't make sense, and it doesn't matter that it cannot be proved scientifically. The resurrection is absolutely true, just like God's grace. Jesus was dead, he came back to life, and he will live forever. Because of this, it's important for us to take a bit closer look at Jesus in this story, to understand more fully his actions, his nature, and his calling for each one of us. It's been said that this story might more accurately be titled Absent Thomas rather than Doubting Thomas. It's a good point. In fact, Jesus treated Thomas in exactly the same way as he treated the others in that upper room. And that is exactly how Jesus treats you and me. Despite the locked door, Jesus came into the room and stood among them. His first words are familiar, "Peace be with you." Think about that for a moment. Jesus fully understands what his followers must have been going through. He understood their sadness, their grief, their sense of loss, their fear for their lives, their lack of direction. And he also understood their terror at seeing him standing there, alive once again and inside of a locked door. "Peace be with you. Calm down. Everything is really all right. I am here among you, just as your disbelieving eyes and hearts are telling you can't be happening. It's all good. Peace be with you. His greeting and his reassurance also say more than that. When we go back to an earlier time, to the Last Supper, Jesus explained himself more fully. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Jesus had more in mind, but first he understood their doubts and disbelief. He understood that they weren't ready to listen to him. Scripture tells us, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And if you're paying attention, this was exactly what happened with Thomas a week later. Jesus clearly understood basic human nature, that any rational person would be skeptical. So he showed them the graphic proof of his pierced hands and the gash in his side, the clear, irrefutable proof that the resurrected Jesus remains the crucified Jesus. So finally, once the disciples were convinced that it was truly him, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Now that the resurrection was completed, there was work to be done. When he had said this, he breathed onto them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The disciples were given the Holy Spirit in order to carry on the work that Jesus had begun. And so a week later, Thomas is with them and he demanded proof himself. But Jesus was more than eager to respond by showing him the physical proof of both his crucifixion and his resurrection. Although the doors were locked and shut, Jesus came and stood among them and again said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, without touching him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Well, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And Scripture tells us Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. My sisters and brothers, this story is really your story as well. Jesus fully understands what you are going through in this life. He understands your sadness, your grief, your sense of loss, your fear of death, and your lack of direction. And Jesus fully understands that a lot of what constitutes God's unconditional love doesn't make sense. And it's hard to believe that God could possibly love you that much. Jesus understands that faith necessarily involves doubt and disbelief. Peace be with you. Jesus is always ready to have you question what you believe, to doubt your faith, to look for answers, and to demand proof. That is certainly an important part of being a Christian believer. And we do that together in small groups and Bible study and Christian conferencing, as Wesley called it. But you have to recognize this as well. once you have confirmed your faith, Jesus is calling you to accept your mission. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Jesus is calling you to do your part in bringing the kingdom of God into reality. Jesus is calling you to share God's love with all people in real and tangible ways. Peace be with you. Jesus Christ is risen. Amen.